What is up? It's The Rant. My name is Jeff Rackliff, and it is Tuesday, September 27th, week three in the books, week four coming at us. And I'll tell you what, even if you're 0-3, season isn't over, man. A lot of fantasy football left to be played. We have 11 weeks left in the regular season for most of us. And man, I've started slow in some leagues, only for the team to gel as we get into October, especially November. And a big part of that, too, is just working the waiver wire effectively. So we're going to help you do that here on the podcast today. As we do always, waiver wire rankings, some suggested fab percentages, and that is the percentage of your entire budget. So if you have $100 as your budget and it's 20%, then it's $20. It's not if you have $100 as your budget and you have $20 left and then 20% of 20. No, I'm not doing that. This ain't Inception, man. It's just straight up. As with every week, know how your league bids. If your league is a little bit more conservative, then you don't have to really go to the high end of this range. And if they're more aggressive and you need to go out and get a player, you might have to spend a little bit more. And as always, if you don't have a drop, don't make a drop. Also, if there are players who are rostered in over 70% of leagues, they do not make the cut here. Here's a prime example, Ramondre Stevenson. Ramondre Stevenson was out there in your home leagues. He is the priority ad this week, not the guys who are on this list. If something crazy happened where somebody else was dropped and they're above this list, they're over 70% rostered, that's for a good reason and they should be picked up, like Chris Godwin or somebody like that, okay? Because that comes up every single week, and it is always true those guys are more priority than this list. Okay, so at the top of the list, I do have Jamal Williams, and going 20 to 25%, though I will say, if I don't have DeAndre Swift, I am not particularly inclined to pick up Jamal Williams because the initial news suggests Swift is only going to miss the 2 weeks before their bye week. Their bye week is actually coming up early in the season. They get a week six bye week. That's the first week of byes. So you would be without Swift for 3 weeks, but you'd only get Williams for two. And yes, in theory, there is the implied value of if Swift was to miss time again in the future, but we all know what happens is, you know, let's say they come back in week seven. You've been sitting on Jamal Williams. You don't have DeAndre Swift. DeAndre Swift goes out, has a big game. Guess what you're doing after week seven? You're dropping Jamal Williams. So I wouldn't necessarily prioritize him unless I have Swift. If I do have Swift and Williams is available, I'm getting his rear end. If I have Swift and Williams is not available, I don't think it's really overly necessary to trade the farm for him. It's a tricky one. I know you want the cuff, but you likely will give more than you're going to receive. And remember, this is a two-week rental. But that being said, he is the top ad of the week. Khalil Herbert sliding in at number two on the list. I'm going 15 to 20% on him. Now, unlike Williams, there's no guarantee. You know, there's no indication that Herbert is going to be the lead back this week. The initial reports on David Montgomery's injury are actually pretty favorable. So yes, Herbert played played awesome and was basically in there from the very beginning of the game after Montgomery went out. But this is one where Herbert did play well enough that maybe the coaching staff gets him a little bit more involved, so it becomes less of a 1-2 and more of a 1-1A situation for the Bears. So we're kind of banking on that, plus the fact that, yes, any David Montgomery injury, and then Herbert's in there. So I would be willing to grab Herbert if I don't have Montgomery. I would be, but probably on the lower end of that spectrum, like 15%. Alexander Mattison. This one is strictly for the Dalvin Cook folks. Dalvin Cook is dealing with a shoulder issue. He should play through it with a brace, but it's just yet again another reminder that Madison should be on your roster if you have Dalvin Cook. And the numbers for this one, actually pretty crazy. So Madison in most leagues was what? Like a 9th or a 10th round pick, right? In like a 12-teamer. 9th or 10th round pick. So he was drafted in pretty much every league out there. And a lot of Dalvin Cook managers drafted him. Right now on Yahoo, he's available in 45% of leagues and 63% of leagues on ESPN. So that means a lot of people who drafted him dropped him. So this is two things, two very different things that we need to work on if this applies to you. First, if you drafted Alexander Mattison and you didn't have Dalvin Cook, in the future, you're going to want to shy away from these naked handcuffs, these guys with only implied value, as opposed to more of a timeshare guy like a Melvin Gordon. Like, I don't love Melvin Gordon, but at least he has actual real value without Javonte Williams being hurt. Madison doesn't have value unless Cook is hurt. So that one, work on that one for the future if that applies to you. The other side to this, though, is people who didn't commit to the handcuff. If they drafted Alexander Madison and have Dalvin Cook and then dropped Alexander Madison, why even draft him in the first place? A couple of years ago, people got all bent out of shape because I went on my SiriusXM show and I said, listen, if you're just going to cut the handcuff, don't draft a handcuff. And of course, all people heard was me saying, don't draft a handcuff, which wasn't what I meant. I mean, if you can't commit to this thing, if you can't actually execute a plan, then don't do the plan, right? Like, he should not be this widely available. Like, basically, Dalvin Cook's not, like, whatever, 100% rostered, 99.9% rostered, right? That means Alexander Madison should be on almost all those rosters. I get if you only have, like, four bench spots, okay, fine. But if you have six bench spots and you have Dalvin Cook and you didn't draft Alexander Madison, what are we doing, right? And then, if you know, if he's dropped, we really should pick him up, but you could be in a position where you don't have a drop. I get that. He still should not be out there in 63% of ESPN leagues. That's just way, way, way too much right there. So three running backs to top the list. I'm not adding Madison. I'm not, like, running out of my way to add Madison if I don't have Dalvin Cook. But if I do, you bet your rear end, I'm going to get him on one way or another. So 10 to 15% on him. 10 to 15% on Romeo Dubs or Dobbs. It's both. Like, Dubs, I guess we can call is his nickname, and Dobbs is actually his last name. But whatever. Romeo Dobbs, Sammy Watkinson's on injured reserve. Dobbs coming off a very good game. 8 catches in that contest. Could be the number one receiver on this team. Now, that doesn't mean he's the next coming of Devontae Adams, but 15% on a guy who's widely available. And yes, I know we dropped him last week. We didn't know Sammy Watkins was going to land on injured reserve first and foremost. And we didn't know that Christian Watson also is never seemingly going to be healthy. So the opportunity is there. If he's available, we'll go out, we'll get him. I think 15% should do it. Although I will say this, since I've written the column this morning, there was a Roto World blurb about how he could be the wide receiver one. So guess what that's going to do? Maybe if you really want him, you might have to go upwards of 20%. Treylon Burks, 7 to 10%. Yes, the fantasy numbers weren't good last week, but you know what's good? His usage. He is not the number four on this team. In fact, he led the Titans with 27 routes run. That was two more than Robert Woods. This is just, you're getting a freebie on waivers because somebody else got impatient and dropped him. And I don't even know if you have to go to 10%, to be honest. I think 7% could do it. Russell Gage, 5 to 7% on him. The week three production is not sustainable. He did that without Mike Evans, Julio Jones, Chris Godwin on the field. When those guys are back, it's going to be hard for him, especially Evans right away. Like, we don't know when Godwin is going to come back, and Jones could be back this week. But when things like this happen early in the season, this was a huge game from Russell Gage. When things like that happen early in the season, sure, it could be a fluke. But spending 5% on a guy and it turning out to not be a fluke, those are season difference makers. Like, not, I don't want to say league winner necessarily, but these are the differences between teams that make a deep push and then teams who either fight for a playoff spot, don't make it, or get bounced in the first round. So I'm going to take a shot on him if I have the opportunity to do so. Zay Jones, 5 to 7%. We've two good games from him so far. Week two wasn't that great, but weeks one and three so far so good. 24 targets this season. That's only three fewer than Christian Kirk. David Njoku, oh boy, here we go. We're on the carousel. We dropped him last week. Pick him back up. 3 to 5%. This merry-go-round is going to continue. People wanted to drop him after week two. We did. People wanted to pick up Gerald Everett in week two. We did. People want to drop Gerald Everett this week, and they will, and pick up David Njoku. Like, this is the definition of insanity. But whatever. I guess pick him up. Just know that Kevin Stefanski did say against certain certain defenses, they are not going to use him heavily in the passing game. So it's like a personnel thing. So there are going to be good weeks, and there's going to be, like, goose egg weeks. Mac Hollins, 3 to 5%. He had the career day with Hunter Renfrow not in the lineup. But this is like very similar to the Russell Gage thing. Like, that was a huge game. He had 8 catches, 158 and a score. So what if it was a sign of things to come and we could get him on the cheap this week? So I'm going to go 3% to 5% on him. Not overboard, because, yes, Renfro will get his when he's back from the concussion. And, of course, you have Adams and Waller. But, again, what if this was the sign of things to come? You just never quite know. So taking shots on these guys, I often talk about bench churn. Like, this is the time of year now where bench churn is going to start to come into play. And Mac Hollins is a perfect bench churn guy. Like, if you have Darnell Mooney, honestly, believe it or not, I'm going to talk about him in the drop list or the cut list. Darnell Mooney, if you could drop him for Mac Hollins, it sounds crazy, but that's a churn move. You churned for a guy who actually showed signs of life, for a guy who has shown no signs of life in 3 weeks. I know it's crazy, but this is kind of where we are. Justice Hill, 3% to 5%. J.K. Dobbins was back in the mix, but Hill led the backfield in snaps. 28 for him, 26 for J.K. Dobbins. One for Mike Davis, and of course, Kenyon Drake was not active. Trevor Lawrence, 3% to 5%, continues to trend up. You know, 3 passing scores against a tough Chargers defense. Just looks overall good. I wouldn't get too crazy dropping somebody like Russell Wilson for him, but Trevor Lawrence trending in the right direction. Really like what we're seeing out of him so far this season. Robert Tonyan, 3%, 7 targets for him this past week. It's a volume thing. Devontae Parker, I'm only going 3%. If Mac Jones was healthy, then it would be higher because they were finally on the same page. 156 on 5 catches, 10 targets, but Jones looks like he's going to miss some significant time here. Greg Dortch, 3%. All right, I'll bite. 3 weeks in a row with double-digit fantasy points. No Rondale Moore to be seen. A.J. Green looking like he's going to miss some time as well. So why not? Isaiah McKenzie, 3%. The volume was there this past week, but be careful. He's certainly, at best, just the number 3 target. Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis are ahead of him. Josh Palmer, 3%. It looks like Keenan Allen should be back this week, but there's value with Palmer as the number 3, and, you know, obviously he's one injury away from a larger role here. KJ Osborne showing up here, 3% on him. He had 5 catches for 73 yards and a score. He's the number 3 in that offense, but still worth rostering in deeper leagues. Samaje Perine, 3%. Now, Mixon does sound like he's going to play on Thursday. He's got a little bit of an ankle issue, but yet again, I said this last week on the pod, if you have Joe Mixon, you should have Samaje Perine. Like, it's not as essential as Alexander Mattison for Dalvin Cook, but it's pretty close. Pretty close. You know, Mixon doesn't play. Samaje Perine's a top 15 option. So you're leaving that on the waiver wire right now if you have Joe Mixon. Evan Ingram, 2%. I know he only had 1 catch last week, but this is not a box score chasing play. He doesn't leave the field. And I would rather have a guy who's always on the field, especially on an offense that's trending in the right direction. Tyler Conklin, 2%. Big week for him. My one holdup is I don't know what Zach Wilson is going to mean for Tyler Conklin, so I'm not going overboard with him. Josh Reynolds, 2%, led the Lions in targets this past week, 10 of them, though Jameson Williams, his looming return, it's definitely not optimal for Reynolds' long-term value. Also, Craig Reynolds for Detroit, 2%. Swift is banged up, so Craig Reynolds has like secondary handcuff value now. And we saw, like, if he gets in there, this dude's not bad. He can carry a big workload, and he's got a little bit of pop to him if something was to happen to Jamal Williams. Marcus Mariota, 2%. He's quarterback 14 somehow. It's largely because of his legs. Hasn't been pretty, but as a short-term fill-in in a deep one quarterback league, I don't think he's out there in Superflex. Zach Wilson, however, is at 24 on the list, going only 2% in deep one quarterback leagues, but Superflex, I'd go upwards of 25%. He could be back under center this week, and I do think he has a long leash as the starter. Tristan Ebner, 1%, sort of a secondary handcuff here for the Bears if you're in deep leagues. Jaylen Warren, 1%. Actually looked really good in week 3. Doesn't have an opportunity for independent value, but if you have Najee Harris, just a friendly reminder, you probably should have Jaylen Warren. Matt Ryan, 1%, deep one quarterback leagues. If he was somehow dropped in Superflex, I'd go 15%+ on him. Jacoby Brissett, more of a super flex ad, especially now that he seemingly has this chemistry with Amari Cooper going down. 10 to 15% in super flex. Geno Smith, same thing, 10 to 15%. definitely has been riffing well with Tyler Lockett the last 2 weeks, and then DK Metcalf getting on the board this past week was encouraging. Hoyer the Destroyer. Brian Hoyer. Mac Jones will be out for at least a month with a high ankle sprain, probably more like 6 weeks. I go 5 to 10% on Hoyer. Chances are, you know, he may be the only starting option who's available on your waiver wire, and every starter should be rostered in your Superflex format. Kenny Pickett, no announcement from the Steelers at all that it's even a consideration for him to start this week, but I'm going to get out ahead of it. And on the cheap, I mean, you may only have to spend 3% or so. You don't even, like, if you still out there now, you probably don't have to spend much at all on Kenny Pickett. All right, hard pass. These are players who may be picked up, but it shouldn't be by you. All right, Jelani Woods, don't sort by last week's fantasy points scored. Yes, he scored 2 touchdowns. He only ran 11 routes. That was 9 fewer than Mo Alie-Cox. Devin Duvernay scoring touchdowns left and right. Only 2 targets in week 3. Laviska Shenault, we all saw the highlight touchdown, but guess what? You would have blinked and you would have missed the 5 routes he ran in that game. That's it. Shai Smith is still clearly the number 3 receiver for them, and unless Shenault can crack that number 3 job, he will not have fantasy value on the regular. Here are players who I'm holding. Travis Etienne, I know he isn't what you drafted him to be, but he has 16 touches this past week. James Cook, still he's a stash. We didn't draft him for September. We drafted him really for like late October. So I'm stashing him. Raheem Mostert, yes, Chase Edmonds scored twice, but Mostert led the backfield in snaps. Ken Walker, same thing as James Cook. Like, Rashad Penny's the lead back. Okay, whoopity-doo, I didn't draft Ken Walker for September. DJ Moore, I know it's frustrating, but he did lead the team in targets with 6 of them this past week. Allen Robinson, he had 5 targets this last week. That was only 1 fewer than Cooper Kupp. They just didn't throw the ball a lot in that contest. Marquez Valdez-Scantling ran 31 routes. It was a team high, 7 targets as well. Elijah Moore, 10 targets for him. That was the same amount as Garrett Wilson. Jahan Dotson, only 2 catches for 10 yards, but he had 8 targets. Russell Wilson, I know it's not what you want it to be. Still looks like everything's gelling there. You know, it's yet to crystallize, but I really like what we've seen, the chemistry with Cortland Sutton. So that's a step in the right direction. If you're really that worried about Wilson, you're not dropping him. You're maybe adding like Trevor Lawrence or something, but not dropping Russell Wilson right now. The cut list, Justin Fields. And I'm not cutting Justin Fields in Superflex, but in one quarterback, yeah, he gone. He has failed to reach 20 passing attempts in any game this season. Joe Flacco, we had a nice little run there, but Zach Wilson is going to be back. Kenyon Drake, healthy scratch. I don't even know if they keep him on the roster after J.K. Dobbins is fully like back up to speed. Zamir White, this is one of those classic, we drafted this guy in the late rounds. Even if we had Josh Jacobs, there's no value here with Zamir White at this point. I mean, it's hard. It's just so hard to cuff a second running back. And Josh Jacobs is at least your second running back. So I'm getting rid of Zamir White in most every instance if I had him. Kenny Gainwell, only 3 touches, no work in the passing game this week. He gone. Isaiah Pacheco played just 5 offensive snaps this past week. Jet McKinnon, if you want somebody, is the other guy to roster there, not Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Tyler Algier, unfortunately, he just needs volume to be a fantasy option, and Cordarrelle Patterson's playing his balls off right now, so Algier is going to go. Marlon Mack, I have no idea what you guys see in this dude, but yes, we're going to drop him yet again. I have no idea, man. Played 0 offensive snaps this week. This one hurts, but Darnell Mooney, it's 3 games in a row. I know one was in a monsoon, but that's even that, it's 2 games in a row. 2 games is a trend in the NFL. They're not able to throw the football in that offense. Robbie Anderson, until Baker Mayfield can prove to be more consistent, I'm not going to roster Robbie Anderson. Sterling Shepard, ugh, torn ACL. If you're wondering, like, I'm just avoiding the Giants for right now. I don't know when Kadarius Toney or Wandale Robinson are going to play. I don't know if Kenny Galladay will ever be the player we once thought he was. I mean, Richie James is like their number one receiver right now. It's just a mess. Like, if you have Saquon Barkley, this is yet again better news for you. It sucks for Sterling Shepard, but they're going to keep leaning on Barkley. Nico Collins, he gone. There's just not enough, meat on the passing bone, if that's a thing, in the Texans passing game. Mecole Hardman, he gone. One target this last week. Sky Moore, if you're still rostering, why are we still rostering? You played 8 offensive snaps this last week. Ashton Doolin, it was worth a churn. We didn't know if he was going to be something or not, but he only ran 8 routes with Michael Pittman and Alec Pierce back, so he gone. Unfortunately, that happens with churn. Sometimes you hit on a churn, sometimes you don't. Kylan Granson, the Colts are using 3 tight ends with Jelani Woods now in the mix. Hunter Henry, oh, just 3 catches this season. Mike Gesicki predictably faded into the background after a big week 2 this last week. And Isaiah Likely, he's the 3rd target in the offense, which is good, but they are run heavy. And you know, it's run heavy, it's Mark Andrews heavy, and really there's not much room for anybody else other than maybe Rashad Bateman. So Isaiah Likely, he gone as well. All right, let's stream some defenses. First and foremost, though, if you have one of these 4 already on your roster, I think you're good. You don't need to make a move. Green Bay, Pittsburgh, San Francisco, and Dallas. I think the Green Bay especially, it's a very appealing getting, you know, this matchup after an injury. Anytime you get to face a backup quarterback, it always sucks when the starter goes down, but you're facing Brian Hoyer. The Steelers get to face the Jets, so that one's been circled on the calendar. The Cowboys get Washington, giddy up there. Washington giving up 5 sacks a game. And then, you know, the 49ers are facing the Rams, and ordinarily you'd think, what the heck? Really? Oh, no, really? Oh yeah. Yes, they're giving up a lot of points. So those teams all stay. Notice, as good as Buffalo is, they are not on my list of teams to keep. They're facing Baltimore, man. Baltimore can put some points on the board. Top streamers of the week, in no particular order. Minnesota facing New Orleans. The Saints have allowed the most fantasy points to defenses this season. 3 giveaways per game. That's a lot. Los Angeles are facing Houston. Chargers have 3 picks on the season, so averaging 1 per game, they should get a shot at padding those numbers here against Davis Mills. Like the Miami Dolphins, believe it or not, if I were to say this 3 weeks ago, that we should be using the Miami Dolphins against Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. I mean, I don't know about you. I would have been like something like,
You're crazy, man. You're crazy. I like you. But you're crazy.
Seriously, crazy. But you know what? Here we are, and Bengals are not a bad matchup so far this season. They're the number 3 fantasy matchup. 15 sacks allowed already this season. And Miami's pretty good on the defensive side of the ball. I'm also going to use both sides of the Giants-Chicago Bears game. Yes, it's come to that. I would prefer the Giants going up against the Bears. The Bears aren't necessarily turning the ball over, but, man, they're averaging just 17.3 points per game. They are, yeah, you can get after Justin Fields. So then on the other side, though, I mean, yeah, Saquon Barkley has been great, but Daniel Jones has been sacked 4.3 times per game, 3rd highest rate of any team out there this season. So, yeah, I mean, really all we're trying to do is generate takeaways, so they are in play there. Those would be the squads I would go after for streaming purposes this week. I mean, Cleveland, I guess, is out there in enough leagues, too, against Atlanta. But Atlanta's actually been turning it up a little bit, so that's why I kind of shaded away from them. If you drafted the Browns to go through the first 4 weeks of the season, though, you can still stay the course. Remember, don't split hairs with team defense. It's really a waste of your time to do so, because what we're trying to get, touchdowns, is the most random stat of all the defensive stats. All right, so that'll do it for today. Remember, if you are not already subscribing, subscribe to the other podcast that I do each week. It's called the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. I do those on Wednesdays for rankings and Fridays for matchups for you. It's really just this show with different music. But we're putting it on that feed over there, so make sure you're subscribing to that. Keep reviewing the show. I've seen some newer reviews on Apple Podcasts. I appreciate all the shout-outs there. And remember, follow along with me on Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe. All right, I will catch you on this feed again next week for another waivers run. That'll be on Tuesdays. Until then, I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.